This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now. Now.
Welcome to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We are your hosts, James and Maria Collins. Today, we are on our self-mastery series. And what are we talking about today, James?
Today, we're going to talk about superpowers.
Ooh, I like that.
Otherwise known as strengths.
And gifts.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to go?
I am.
Okay.
So I know that most people listening here probably know exactly what strengths are. This isn't your first time hearing about this concept, but I'm going to go ahead and define it for people anyway. I like to use the Webster's 1828, his original dictionary definition, a lot of times, just because I feel like he was really eloquent in his description and definitions of words back in 1828. So the Webster's 1828 definition of strengths is power of mind, intellectual force, the power of any faculty, as in strength of memory, strength of reason, or strength of judgment. So essentially, strengths are your positive or beneficial talents or characteristics or skills that people possess. They're the unique abilities that make you who you are and help you win in life. So I said in the beginning, I like to think about strengths as your superpowers. Because again, these are the things that a lot of times we're born with certain gifts and talents, things that just come naturally for us. Those things can be strengths, but strengths can also be skills that we've focused on and developed over time. But essentially, they become the driving force behind where and when we win in life. And that's why we want to focus on the concept of strengths, so our listeners can start to think about their own strengths, hopefully start winning more.
For me, for a lot of times, it was hard for me to understand my strengths and gifts because it's something so natural mm-hmm. that I struggle identifying that.
And I think everybody does to a certain degree. Because it is, to your point, it's so natural to us that we don't recognize them immediately as gifts.
Yeah, you're just like, isn't that the way everybody lives their lives? Mm-hmm. No, because you're made unique in your strengths and gifts or yours. And because you just do that every day and you just live like that, you think it's just everybody else does the same thing. But no.
Yeah, oftentimes it's easier for us to recognize strength in other people than it is to recognize our own strengths. You want to give the listeners some examples of common strengths?
Common strengths include leadership, creativity, artistic expression, written or verbal communication skills, strategy and problem solving, connecting and relating to others, relationship building, mm-hmm. and many more.
Yeah, many, many more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll get into some other specifics as we get in. Just wanted to kind of paint a picture of common strengths and what strengths are before we get into the heart of why we're talking about strengths. So do you want to kick us off on why we're here talking about this?
Like we always do, we brought some Bible into this conversation. And there are two parts of the Bible that came to mind while we were searching and studying about and thinking about this topic. The first verse is James 1:17. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." I love that because God created us. The Bible also says that we are wonderfully and uniquely made. We have strengths and gifts that are ours, so we can leave an impact here in this world that nobody else can. That's why it's so important to understand your strengths and your gifts. Like we talked before, right, in the other series, what's your purpose? What's your vision? What's your mission? What are you here for? Mm-hmm. Right? And when you find that purpose and you know your gifts, again, every room that you enter, every place that you are, you're having a positive impact because you're bringing your best self out to love on people, to help in situations, to solve problems, whatever those gifts are, that's how you impact that room.
That's right. The second verse that we want to bring in tonight is 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 27. So it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. So here in 1 Corinthians, Paul's teaching the church of Corinth that we're all part of one body of Christ, and that every part of the body serves a unique purpose. Just like you were talking about before, God has created each one of us with unique gifts to serve a unique purpose. And what's more is each part was designed with the specific abilities that were needed in order for them to carry out that part. So he talks about in other areas, like you talk about the body of Christ, there are eyes to see, ears to hear, feet to walk, hands to do work. You hear often we're the hands and feet of Christ, right? Well, that's why it's really important for folks to understand what their unique strengths are, because I feel like a lot of people get off track and they spend their lives trying to be a hand when they were designed to be a foot. A lot of times this comes in the form of them recognizing somebody in their life, or maybe it's a public figure that they idolize and look up to, and they see certain strengths and gifts in that person, and they think, oh, well, I must have those gifts as well if I expect to be successful. If I want to have the kind of life that they have, I need to have the exact same gifts that they do. Or they'll see somebody who's getting attention or getting recognition in certain areas and think, well, I must have those same skills. I must operate the same way in order for me to be successful and for me to get that same kind of recognition. And that throws people off, because then you're starting to operate potentially outside of your own strengths, because we don't all have the same strengths. That person is leveraging their strengths, which is making them successful. But if you don't naturally carry those same strengths, or if you haven't developed those same strengths over time, you're not going to have the same success leveraging those skills or characteristics.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like to go back a little bit, understand the context when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. What was happening is the different parts of the church, right? The different people, they were overlapping each other and trying to get attention and trying to act in other people's strengths. And that became a mess. That was all messed up, and there was confusion, and people couldn't really understand be in the church and be the church, right? So he's here clarifying that each person has their unique gifts and strengths. There's nothing that's less important or more important. Every part of the body is important for the whole body to work. Otherwise, it won't. Mm-hmm. If you're missing your legs, it will be hard for your whole body to work and walk, because your feet, your toes, everything has its purpose. And if you think about it, it's like that in your family. It's like that in business. Mm. It's like that in community, in ministries, in church. Everybody plays a very important part. So no matter what your gifts and strengths are, it matters. So I like that. That's why we went to that part of the Bible. So to clarify and understand, like to your point you were speaking just now, the comparison. We live in a social media world right now, and it's so easy to look what people are posting out there, right? The people that have a lot of followers, and what are they doing? And I want to do that because I look up to them and I want to be like that. But that's not who you are. That's why we spoke about identity before, because what we're trying to do here is for you to understand who you are, right? And now let's see, what are your gifts? And then you put together with your purpose, right? So then you're going to create and live the life that you want to hear, that you're going to live the purposeful life for when you go meet Jesus, right? And you're in the judgment, he's going to tell you, great job.
Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah. You did what you were supposed to do in the earth. When you identify who you are and you know your strengths, again, you will have a positive impact in your family, in your work, in the ministry, in where you're serving, with your neighbors, with your community, everywhere you go.
Yeah, so you're going to add more value by focusing on your strengths. Leveraging your strengths helps you add more value to every area that you step into. When you focus on your strengths, you're also more confident in yourself, you're more self-aware, you're more productive, and you have more fun. You enjoy life more when you're in your strengths than you are when you're trying to operate in areas that aren't strengths to you. That's where frustration and stagnation comes from, is in trying to focus on things that aren't strengths of ours. And being in the business world, I see this often, where it's natural for us to focus on the negatives. So in corporate America, it happens like this every single year, and it's been the same at every organization that I've been a part of. We go all year long performing, and then at the end of the year, we get an end-of-year review. Everybody in the organization gets an end-of-year review that has, in most cases, 80 to 90% positive feedback, and then 10 to 20% of critical feedback or areas that we need to improve on. And where does 100% of the focus when you're writing a new development plan for yourself, or you're setting new goals for yourself for the new year, 100% of the effort goes into setting goals or putting together a development plan that is focused on what was negative from last year? And that's the exact opposite of what we're trying to teach here, which is those things that were, and that's not to say that you shouldn't work on those things. It's not to say that you should just dismiss the areas that you fell short. What you should do to look to improve those, though, is focus on how can you leverage your strengths to mitigate those areas? How can you operate more in your strengths to improve in the areas that are called out as deficient areas for you, rather than trying to improve a skill that may not be a strength for you?
That is so good. Because like you said, right, I remember in corporate America exactly what you said, that evaluation and then focus on, let's improve these areas. But then it takes so much energy, it's so much work to improve those areas. It's not that it's not possible, but I think it goes back to the focus of the why. Why would you want it to improve this area, right? Is it going to really what you want to for the purpose of your life? If it is, great. You should focus on that and improve that area. But if not, you're just spending all this energy and consuming yourself to something that's going to be really hard for you to be 100%. Instead of focusing on your strengths, which you have fun doing, you're more natural. So you win more in that area. So it gives you more momentum and it gives you more energy to continue to move in that direction instead going to the other way. I remember when the first time that I started coaching, I coached like for, let's say, 6 hours, I think it was. When I finished all those calls that I had, I was more energized than when I started. That's when I was like, I was meant to do this. Because that gave me energy. It brought me fulfillment. So I was able to use my gifts and strengths in that area, right? Instead of doing a type of job that consumes me and get all my energy out. And then I'm drained at the end of the day. And I need time to recoup and to get my energy levels up again, right? It goes into, if you think about the extrovert people and the introvert people, being around people, how much energy consumes for the introvert, right? And they have more energy levels if they're doing a one-on-one conversation or relationship.
Right.
The energy levels that will take out of you trying to be in an environment with a lot of people if you're an introvert. And
again, it's not to say that they can't do that. They can flex that skill. It's just, it takes more out of them. It's going to drain them to do that versus operating in what is a strength for them. What comes more naturally is energizing versus it being an energy demander or drainer.
Yeah. And that's a great example because people will ask me like, oh, you're an extrovert. And I'm like, no, I'm an introvert. I just practice a lot and I can do it very well, but I will need my time alone to get my energy levels back up.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So I want to dive a little bit deeper and just share some of my own personal strengths and weak areas with the listeners to give an example of what we're talking about and how to leverage your strengths to minimize or to mitigate areas that might be weak for you. So we both took this assessment. It's on Gallup.com. It's called the Clifton Strengths Finders. And it's an amazing tool. So recommend that everybody go, invest in yourself by taking this assessment. It does cost some money. I think that just to get your top five results, it's a $25 fee. And I believe it's a $60 fee now if you want your full 32 strength result, which comes with a guide and a report. I recommend the full version, but it does come with a cost, but it's an investment in yourself. So highly recommend that you do that. Based on my assessment, my top five strengths are strategic, relator, belief, competition, and maximizer. So from a strategic standpoint, it means that I have good pattern recognition and I have the ability to easily identify and solve problems in unique ways. As a relator, I have the ability to connect and find common ground with other people and build strong personal relationships like you were just talking about.
Okay, stop right there. So talk a little bit more, for example, in the strategic strength that you have, how bring it up some real life experience of how you can utilize that top strength that you have at work, in your personal life. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So been an area that's helped me win throughout my career, because as an operations leader, a lot of what I have to do is optimizing processes. And so process optimization has always come very naturally to me. I can very quickly look at a process and identify where there are process gaps, where there are inefficiencies in the process. Oftentimes there are siloed work within a process, or there's multiple handoffs in a process, and those types of things stick out to me like a sore thumb. And immediately I can dig in and identify areas where we can gain efficiencies by combining steps in a process or eliminating certain steps in a process that are redundant or unnecessary. And so that's one example of where at a couple of different jobs that I've had in the past, I've completely restructured an operational team and how they work, how the work flows through the process to drive economies of scale and make things more efficient, which helps us to operate at a lower cost. It helps us to get more throughput with the same amount of people and ultimately deliver a better cost to service for our customers.
What about your personal life? How would you say you utilize that strength?
Yeah, so and this is where I kind of want to tie it back for the listeners to how I utilize a strength to mitigate one of my weaknesses. My three weakest areas from the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment are discipline, consistency, and harmony. So specifically, I've used my strategic skill and strength to plan out my days. One of the things that I've recognized for myself when it comes to discipline and consistency is I like variety. And so if allowed to, if I don't have a plan for my day, I will very quickly allow myself to get off track with shiny object syndrome. We've talked about that before. Or I can allow my day to manage me if I'm not managing my day. So one of the things that I focus on from a strategic standpoint is every minute of my day is planned out. I plan my day, my calendar in 15-minute increments. So every 15-minute block of my day is planned out well in advance, usually a week or two in advance, and then I can just go in and make tweaks along the way. But that's one way that I've figured out for myself. Like, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't get done. And if it's not planned out effectively, if my whole day isn't planned out effectively, I will use downtime to get distracted, or I'll use downtime to potentially get off course on what's most important, what I've already identified as a priority for myself. So what about you? Tell us a little bit about some of your strengths and how you've used some of those strengths to mitigate weaker areas.
Okay. So my results, my top strengths are individualization, which means that I notice and appreciate each person's unique characteristics, and I don't treat everyone the same. Because I can see what makes each individual unique, I know how to bring out their best. And you said, what did you say this morning when we were talking about this?
Yeah, I knew that was your top strength before you took this assessment. Because when you were thinking about becoming a coach, really, I think you were just in the investigative process to understand like what you were going to do next.
It was my self-development process.
Yeah. And I think it was a book that you were reading at the time had a series of questions that it was asking you. And one of the questions that it asks is, what are your strengths? What makes you unique? What makes you stand out? And you came to me and asked me, because you were struggling with how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. You came to me and you asked me, what would you consider my biggest strength? And I told you basically that I feel like you, better than anybody else that I know, are really great at identifying what makes other people special. You're really good at identifying the strengths in other people, but not just that, you've got a way about you. You're an encourager, you're an energy producer for folks, and that comes through in the form of building people up and helping them recognize what makes them special and helping them recognize how great they can be in certain areas, and calling out those strengths in other people, I've recognized is a real, it just comes naturally to you. It's part of who you are. It's part of your personality. And so I told you that, and then it's funny because you went and took this assessment and it told you the exact same thing. Your number one strength is individualization, which is just that, your ability to appreciate each person's unique skills, characteristics, and you don't treat everybody the same, but you are able to bring out the best in other people by helping them see the best in themselves.
I think that's that big strength, that number one strength that I have. It's what helps me as a coach, because that's a big skill that a coach needs to have, right? To be able to see with the second set of eyes and help bring that out. And the person that a lot of times don't see them in themselves and don't believe that they are that person. Like, I was struggling with my own questions when I came to you, right? I trusted you, I love you, and you live with me. So no one better than you to see my strengths and pointed that out for me at that time.
Yeah, and I think that actually helped lead you down the path of mm-hmm. recognizing that coaching was a career for you that yeah. you'd really excel at.
The second one is responsibility, that I have a deep sense of dedication and feel ownership for my commitments. I am a person of word, and others know they can rely and trust me. And that is a big thing for me. I was just telling you this yesterday.
You brought it up yesterday. And it's funny because it's actually a really great example of where sometimes it's not about us developing strengths within ourselves. Sometimes it's about the alignments that we have around us mm-hmm. and recognizing areas that we're weak in and surrounding ourselves with people who have strengths in those areas. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we are, because you haven't talked about it yet, but your weakest area on the assessment is my strongest area. Mm-hmm. Your weakest area is strategic. My strongest area is strategic. So that complements each other well, because you can make use of my strategic abilities to make up for what you might lack in that area. Well, the same for responsibility being your number two strength. Again, my weakest areas are discipline and consistency. And
so I'm the one that pushes things to happen. That's yeah. what happened yesterday.
Absolutely.
We were having a conversation about this podcast, and I was like, we are falling behind of the plan that we had. And you said, it's okay. Let's not put so much pressure in ourselves. And I said, no, my words matter. I made a commitment to myself, and we're going to make this thing happen.
That's right.
So yeah, I like that we complement ourselves and our strengths and weakness.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how to go about identifying strengths and how to develop those strengths.
Yes, that's a great point. Let's go.
Yeah, so the first thing that we recommend that everybody do, and we've talked a little bit about this already, but focus on what you're good at. One of the exercises I like to encourage folks to do is think about times in the past where you've won in life, and think about what skills helped you win in those different areas, and use that as the starting off point to identify what your strengths are, because a lot of times the areas that we've won in life, will recognize different wins in our life, oftentimes require the same strengths, the same skills to deliver that win.
Another way to do that is by think about what people come to you for. What do they come and ask you? What people usually ask you for help with? Right? Are you good at organizing things? Are you good at time management? Are you good at motivating, bringing energy, problem solver, right? People can see your strengths better than you can. Mm. And they will come to you asking for help in those areas. So I did before, and I went to my husband, James, and asked. You can always go to a friend, right, that you trust, that you do life with, people that are always around you, a coworker, your boss. You can always ask for feedback, your spouse, your kids. I always ask my kids questions as, do you feel loved by me? What are the things that I do that make you feel loved by mommy? And they tell me, they straight up tell me. So always ask people around, how do they feel loved by you, right? What kind of positive impact you bring in their lives, and ask for feedback.
Yeah, that's great. And you talked about, you know, people who are close to us, our spouses, our boss, coworkers, kids, close friends, family members. They're all great sources of information, because, again, it's oftentimes it's easier for us to see strengths in other people than it is to see it in ourselves. So asking those people that are close to you is a really great way to do that. And then the final suggestion is the suggestion that we've already made, which is go take the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment and make that investment in yourself.
There's another one. Think about when you at work or when you out and about in social environments. Again, right? Awareness. I love talking about bring awareness and ask yourself to look for the answers of what makes me more energized and what drains my energy. If you're in a certain environment at work, different tasks or different responsibilities that you have, what brings you energy and what doesn't? What brings you energy usually are going to be some of your strengths, things that you like to do, that you're happy, that you're excited about going and doing those things. They probably are a sign of your strength.
Yeah. We'll link in the show notes a link to the StrengthsFinder assessment for those who are interested in doing that. But obviously, as you're just saying, there are other ways outside of taking the StrengthsFinder assessment that you can identify your strengths. We just recommend that one because they do such an amazing job of explaining what the strengths are and how you personally leverage those strengths to win. It's just a really great resource. So recommend that you invest in yourself with that. But then I want to talk about too, like strategies for developing your strengths. So once you understand what your strengths are, it's important to really dig deep and understanding how those strengths are unique to you and how you can regularly utilize those strengths, leverage those strengths for success. So I talked previously about, you know, thinking and reflecting on prior experiences. When have you won before and what helped you win? So what repeatable actions or strategies did you employ? What skills did you employ repeatedly in the past that helped you to win? And think about how you can spend more time doing those things. And then commit to using your top five strengths every day in some way. So again, put a strategy together. Like once you understand your top five strengths, put a strategy together and find ways that every single day, this is how I can leverage this skill. Block time to spend every day practicing those skills.
I love what you said about practice so you can develop your skills, because my number one strength here that we're talking about, right, that I have the ability to identify the gifts and uniqueness in different people. Now I know how to deliver that. And I understand that not everybody is ready and wanting my feedback. When I was younger, I remember people, my family and some friends, that would take me as rude, right? Because I would just say things like, you're acting a certain way that you shouldn't. And it's very clear to me the parts that needs to be fixed, that you need to change. So at a young age, in not understanding how to communicate properly and bring it up certain things, it was my strength back then, but I didn't know how to utilize. So it's very important what you just said, James, to practice. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, it grows, knowing your strength will bring you confidence. Confidence is built by doing it over and over and over again. So just because you have that strength, it doesn't mean you know how to use it properly right now. And that's okay. But identifying that and then practicing and starting to use those gifts, you will grow into it. Because our other episodes that we were talking about, core beliefs, limiting beliefs, core values, identity, knowing who you are, all of that will play into you acting up your strengths and gifts. So if you don't believe you're worthy, if you don't believe you're enough, if you don't believe you're capable, still here, knowing your strengths is not going to do anything to you. So practicing, putting yourself out there, and doing the things that you know you're gifted at, because the world needs you. It needs your gifts. There's people out there waiting for you to be impacted by the gifts that God has given you.
Amen.
And you need to be using that.
That's good. So a couple other strategies for developing your strengths. The first is seek feedback on your strengths. Seek feedback on your strengths, but also on how you're leveraging those strengths. And then use that feedback. We always say feedback's a breakfast of champions. Use that feedback to help you grow. Let it marinate.
Yep. Let it sink. Process. Yeah. Take your time. Sometimes it takes longer, but it's important because that's the growing, right? That's the getting better.
Yep.
You got to understand and allowing the right voices to speak into your life.
That's really important. Making sure that it's the right voices that you're allowing to speak into your life. And then recognizing that nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
A lot of people get defensive when they get criticized, especially in areas that they look at as strengths for them. We've talked about this in the identity episode too a little bit, but especially in areas where we consider to be strengths, when we get criticized in that area, a lot of times it's taken as an attack against us, attack against our identity, and we put up walls and get defensive. Just want to challenge our listeners to be open to that feedback. Seek that feedback out. Like, challenge the people that you're asking for feedback as well. I do this oftentimes because a lot of times people are not comfortable providing critical feedback to other people. You'll ask for feedback and what you'll get in return is next to nothing, at least nothing useful, right? They'll tell you all the ways that you're great and amazing, but like, challenge those people. Where am I not great or amazing? Where could I get better? Where could I be leveraging the strength better? And especially people who are close to you, who are close to the work that you're doing, close to the things that matter to you and your purpose, ask those people and ask them for honest feedback. But you've got to demonstrate when they provide that critical feedback, you've got to demonstrate that it's okay that they've done that by not getting defensive and just ask questions. Ask questions to seek to understand through the questions that you ask, but then leverage that feedback to get better. Make the adjustments that you need to make to leverage that to grow.
And that's an area that we had learned to grow into in our relationship, to be able to create the safe place to have this type of conversation. Now, we created some words and some ways that we'll start that conversation, right? Saying straight up to, I'll say, James, I'm going to tell you something that you don't like it. And I don't want you to get this defensive, right? Because this is for your best interest, because I love you. And we will talk about those things. And you don't always like it, but you accept and you take it and you process and you work on it and you become better because of that. And you do the same to me. But at the beginning of our relationship, it wasn't like this.
No.
Every time something was brought up, we became defensive right away. And that turned into a fight, which there's a lot of people, because there is insecurities, there are things that you haven't dealt with inside of you. And again, what we talked about before, identity, beliefs, all of that. Every time somebody's pointing something out, actually with good intentions to help you grow, you become defensive. And then you shut that person off and then you don't listen to what they say. It's all against you. The world is against you. And that's not the point. And that's why we're here. We're here because we want to bring awareness. We want to help you think differently. We want to ask the questions, who taught you to think this way? Who told you this is the way that it's right way? Where are you getting your values? Where are you getting all our information and your thoughts and your beliefs from? And that's why we always go back to the Bible, because that's the principles that we have learned and we follow now.
All right. So I want to mention the last strategy for developing your strengths. Get a coach. There's no substitute for having somebody in your corner who is going to help you see your blind spots. They're going to help hold you accountable to growing continuously. They're going to call you out when you need to be called out. They're going to help you identify where you times when you're being defensive and not leveraging feedback to grow. And there'll be a second set of eyes and ears for you to help you identify new ways of leveraging and growing your strengths. There is a coach is invaluable. And we're not just saying this because Maria is a coach. There are a number of different coaches, mentors that you can have that you don't have to pay for. Now, I will say I've had coaches that I've paid for, and I've had mentors or coaches that have come free to me. I paid more attention to and grew more from the ones I was paying. There's a psychological element to the fact that when you have a cost associated with something,
your skin is in the game.
Exactly. There's skin in the game for it. So when there's a cost associated with that, when there's a sacrifice that you're making for that thing, you value it higher.
And another thing I want to add when you're talking about get a coach, right? It's not just go get a coach. I think you need to do your research. You need to make sure that coach is the right voice for your life. They are aligned with your values and what they do, how much experience they have, if they have any training, right? Because nowadays, anybody can be a coach. So it is important to understand the difference of mentoring and coaching as well. They're different. A coach is all about asking powerful questions to help you bring up the answers that you have inside of you. Mentoring is a person that have done what you're looking for, and they help you take the steps that they took, and they're ahead of you. And there is a little bit of coaching and mentoring together. It's just the way that is presented and brought it to you. It's different. So always do your research and make sure the person that you're investing is the right person for you and for your values and for what you're looking for and what you're looking to get out of it. Always know what you're looking for so you can find the right person to help you.
Yep. The old saying is, if you want to go quickly, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with others. And having a coach in your corner is a really good example of how you can go farther by having other people there on the journey with you. So that's going to do it for this episode. We hope this has been useful for you. Hope that you've gotten something out of this. We encourage you, go find your strengths. Focus on developing and leveraging those strengths to grow and to win more in life. And until next time, thanks for being with us. God bless.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.